Let the congregation please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And you may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ, the true light illuminated for all the world. Amen. Well, in today's gospel lesson, we read and hear Matthew's Epiphany story, the coming of the Magi. Now, whether they were magicians or Eastern priests, wise men, foreign kings, or astrologers, who knows? But one thing we are confident of, they were outsiders. They were men who were not Jews, and yet they were drawn by a star and had traveled long, hard, and far just to give gifts and their respect to this newborn King of the Jews. A king born of a humble virgin in a manger in Bethlehem. And so this is a story of God's coming into the world and the revelation of himself, not just for the Jews, but for all people and all nations. And it's why we celebrate this mighty manifestation where Jesus is unveiled as the light of the world, breaking into the darkness of our existence. And while it may be argued that the Magi might not have been kings, there is no denying they came from faraway nations. They came first to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem, following a star. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And we too experience this joy daily when the Holy Spirit comes, stops, and dwells within us. Dwells within us and gives us the faith to let loose and share this joy with our friends, family, co-workers, and even the strangers who pass through and into our lives. We are given the light of Christ as a gift to share, and as Jesus is quick to remind us, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Or to put it another way, you are to let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Now I have to be honest with you, because as much as I want to be a light for Christ, to follow his star and to be overwhelmed with joy, more often than I care to admit, I sometimes react like Herod, who when hearing the Magi were seeking to give praise to some unknown newly born king of the Jews, was frightened and all of Jerusalem with him. I mean, think about it. Naming and allowing Christ into your life as your one and only king is both scary and demanding. Becoming a disciple of Christ, a carrier of his lamp, his light, brings with it life-changing consequences. Consequences that I have not always been open to exploring and following through on in my own life, because too often I'm tempted by what our culture lifts up as what is right. And what it lifts up is a message that we can have it all, that our every desire is valid, and that anything anybody tries to do to persuade us otherwise is wrong, is crazy. Because the purpose of life is supposed to be about getting what we want, isn't it? At least that's what we're told again and again, and that on some level we all can't help but want to believe. And it's easy to believe this if your life is going well. Now, my life has always been fairly easy. And while it's far from perfect, it is pretty good, and I've always taken in stride any challenges I've had to face. Going to church helped a lot, and spending time with my church community kept me grounded in my faith and gave me that uplifting jolt each Sunday that could carry me through for another week. At least that's what I thought until Epiphany Sunday, 2008. Because it was on that fateful day that Pastor Jeff did something different. You see, instead of delivering his normal sermon, he chose instead to deliver a survey that we were expected to fill out on the spot. An assessment to determine our spiritual gifts. To this day, I'm not sure I knew what he was hoping to accomplish with this exercise. But somehow this Sunday became an epiphany moment for me. You see, after answering a number of questions, I tallied my score and found that my top three spiritual gifts were leadership, organization, and teaching. And at first this was no surprise, and I actually was rather pleased with my results. That is, until I looked down the list further and discovered that faith did not even make the top five. This took me aback. You see, I always thought I had a strong faith life. I mean, I went to church regularly, I taught Sunday school, and I gave in financial support of the church, so what more was there to faith? Well, this whole faith thing, or lack of faith thing, or not enough faith thing, wore on me. What else was I expected to do? But then the answer came like a flash of light, and the glare of God broke through, and as I was reading the Sunday paper that very afternoon, and noticed a posting for an executive director position at a homeless shelter. Now, I knew nothing about homelessness, hunger, poverty, or any of the other mental and health issues that often accompany these social concerns. Still, for some reason, I applied. I honestly thought my chances were so slim, I didn't even say anything to my wife, which was a big mistake on my part, because when after two interviews I finally did tell her, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. And then when I was offered the position, we both had to face the reality that our lives were going to take a drastic change. Now, at Churches United for the Homeless, our main function was to just give people temporary relief. A place to eat and sleep, a place to breathe, relax, and be welcomed as a child of God. And I have to admit that I wasn't always the best at this either, because as the administrator, I was the one who had to make and enforce rules that allowed the shelter to run with minimal conflict. So often I had to be the bad guy, the one who says no, or the one to put a man or woman or even an entire family back out on the street. Luckily, however, my staff, our loving volunteers, and even the residents made up for my shortcomings, and along the way they taught me a thing or two about servant leadership. In fact, they all taught me more than a thing or two. They taught me almost everything. At Churches United for the Homeless, I was fortunate to meet people who gave of themselves out of their abundance to those who on the surface had nothing, and yet who often lived the most abundant, faith-filled lives of us all. All these people became my light, and in time their light led me closer to the true light, the original star that the Magi followed so long ago. Sure, the light of this star still startles and scares me, still frightens me as it did Herod so long ago. And yet, like the Magi, I continue to be drawn by the light of the star and overwhelmed with joy. I live in this tension between darkness and light, between right and wrong, and between looking out for myself and caring for my neighbor. And I now know that on any given day I can either fail or succeed. But I also know that regardless of my actions, the star remains guiding me and illuminating my path. The Magi saw in the coming of the star something miraculous, an announcement of the Jewish Messiah. They had patiently waited and watched the skies, hoping for a sign, and the light did arrive. A bright star that lit up the sky as a beacon for all those with eyes to see. It is a light that reveals the true light of God, of Jesus, of a baby born to live and die just for us. And that light still shines today. It still shines for each and every one of you, guiding you as you tread along through your lives. And it is a light that is leading you to a hill just outside the gates of Jerusalem. And it is a light that is leading you to the foot of a cross. The cross where your Savior died for you, so that you could receive his light, his grace, and his forgiveness. And it is with this gift of light you are sent out, having been called to share this light, to share the good news of Jesus. And so you are called to turn from the cross and walk back into the darkness, seeking out all those who still need a little light in their life. Because everyone deserves and needs the love of Jesus and the promise of a God who is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And everyone deserves and needs someone like you to enter into the darkness, to defend the cause of the poor, of the people, and give deliverance to the needy. You are to love the light and be the light and share the light. And so may you cease to be frightened of putting Christ first in your life. May you be overwhelmed by the joy of following the true star, the true light of the world. And may that star shine brightly from your heart. May it warm your soul and give you strength. The strength to face your own challenges, the strength to stand up for those who are weak, and the strength of patience as you wait for Christ to return and enfold you in his light once and for all. Amen.